Our Bible reading tonight is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Thank you very much, Amanda and Sir Knows-a-Lot, and I look forward to hearing more about the result of their own investigations. But what we're going to do in the next 10 minutes or so is just reflect a little on the events that we've already begun to consider, and in particular to consider together what those events have, what relevance they have for our own lives here today. But to get us going in my section, I want to begin with a little activity. In a moment, I'm going to get a ball out. And my aim with this ball, I'm going to be looking intently at that back row. You don't need to turn around, but Sue's sitting right in the middle there. And I'm going to attempt to bowl the ball directly down. I'm going to keep my eyes focused on that wall, and I'm going to see whether I can get the ball to the end. Okay? Now, how much confidence have you got in me, I wonder? I wonder whether you think the ball that I bowl might perhaps end up on either side, or perhaps it might even end up behind me on that wall. Let's see whether I can get it right by looking at that wall and if I can get that ball all the way to Sue. All right, thank you for allowing me to do that that little activity. And I'll explain what the significance of it is in just a moment. But in this afternoon service, as we've just read from Luke chapter 2, where we're spending our time this afternoon with me and with the shepherd and with Sir Knows-a-Lot in the Gospel of Luke. And in the New Testament, there are four Gospels. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. They're the first four books in the New Testament. And this afternoon, as I say, we're focusing on the Gospel of Luke, what Luke teaches. And the Gospel of Luke has a key verse which appears in it round about a third of the way through the book. And it's this verse, chapter 9 and verse 51. And this is, if you like, it's kind of a turning point in Luke's gospel, a significant moment, as from this point, everything that's going to happen is set in motion, a little bit like me looking intently at that back wall and ensuring, being determined, that the ball is going to reach the end. Now, the verse I'm talking about is this one, Luke 9, verse 51. And it says this, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely, that is, with determination, he set out for Jerusalem. And as I say, that's a verse that controls or summarises what will happen in the rest of Luke's gospel. Luke 9, verse 51, as I say, is the equivalent of me looking intently at that back wall and resolving that that's where the ball in my hand is going to end up. That's the path, in the same way, that Jesus is determining to take. In Luke's gospel, Jesus' path will take him to Jerusalem. And any of you here who know the story, do you know what happens when Jesus makes it to Jerusalem? What happens, those who know the story? What's that? Palm Sunday. And what happens after Palm Sunday when he goes in? So he gets arrested and he gets crucified. He gets killed. Jerusalem is where Jesus will go to die on a cross. That's where Jesus is headed. That's where this king, or this Messiah that the shepherds were told about, that's the path that he'll take. And what happens, according to Luke and the other gospel writers too, is that certain people and certain things appear and they kind of attempt to knock Jesus off his intended course, a bit like those balls that were thrown in from the side. And most of all, surprisingly perhaps, it'll be Jesus' own friends, the disciples, who will try and make him go on a different path. The devil will try and do it too. But no matter how hard they and others try, nothing will stop Jesus, God's King, from taking the path God has chosen for him. Jesus has eyes for only one thing, and tragically and unbelievably, it's to die on a Roman cross. It seems like a really odd thing for Jesus to do. Disturbing, even. Certainly sad. Especially given that Luke and the other gospel writers present Jesus, again as the angels told the shepherds, as God's saviour, the Messiah. That simply means king. And that's what the angel said Jesus was. Again, in that verse that Cenozalot was pointing us to, chapter 2 and verse 11 of Luke's Gospels, the angels said about Jesus when he was born that he was a saviour, the Messiah, even the Lord. In other words, Jesus, said the angels, was God's rescuing king. Yet he was a king who came to die. That's really odd, don't you think? Jesus is a king who says, I have come to save you. That's why God sent me. But I'll save you not by defeating the Romans who ruled at the time, not by defeating any of their enemies, but by myself being defeated. Being killed on a cross in Jerusalem. And nothing, said Jesus, nothing is going to stop me from doing that. Jesus' friends at the time, when he did later die, didn't get it at all. If they had mobile phones back then, they would have been messaging one another, and their messages would have certainly included a confused emoji. They didn't know what was happening. It just didn't make any sense. Was this really the path that our King, God's rescuing Messiah, had to walk? To die like a criminal. A shameful death. Like an evil doer upon a cross. Jesus died, we're told, with robbers either side of him. Hardly what you'd expect to happen to God's all-conquering, all-powerful, rescuing King. But actually, the clue to it being like this is given even earlier than Luke chapter 1 and verse 51, when Jesus resolutely headed for Jerusalem. The clue to Jesus' path is given even further back at the time of his birth that we're celebrating here today. If you like, I rolled the ball from that point there. Let's say that point there was Luke chapter 9, verse 51, where Jesus resolutely set his head towards Jerusalem. But I could have rolled it even further back. I could have rolled it back even at the time of his birth. For where was Jesus born? He wasn't born in a palace or some luxurious stable or temple, rather. He was born in a stable, not a temple. He was born in a room in which animals were normally kept. And he wasn't born to like a powerful king and queen upon the earth. He wasn't born to visible royalty. He was born to a lowly couple named Joseph and Mary, who couldn't even find a proper room for the night. Jesus' disappointing, unexpected, shameful death is equally matched by his lowly, unpromising birth. Those two things, his death and his birth, the bookends of Jesus' existence here on earth, if you like, are entirely consistent with each other. They are in league with one another. As partners, they perfectly match. For both of them were unexpected. Both of them were ordinary. Certainly not the way that you'd expect a king, and God's king nonetheless, to enter and leave this world. But Jesus could not be swayed from that ordinary path. And you know the other thing Luke tells us, which is pretty ordinary? The other thing that's ordinary, and I'm sorry to tell you this, Amanda, but the first people to be told about Jesus' birth are the shepherds. They're pretty ordinary. They're not world leaders. They're not social media influencers. They're not royalty. They're shepherds. Shepherds at the time Jesus were born were ordinary, run-of-the-mill folk. Nothing particularly fancy about them. Not necessarily disrespected, just ordinary. Certainly not the first people you would think God would have in mind to share his important news. But ordinary shepherds were the ones God chose to tell about Jesus' birth. And do you know what relevance that has for us here this afternoon? Well, I'm sorry to break it to all of us. I'm sorry if this news is news to you, but you and I are pretty ordinary too. Take that as a compliment, perhaps. God's message to us today as ordinary people is don't let the ordinary fool you. Don't let the humble nature of Jesus' birth or his ignoble exit from this world either, his inglorious death, fool you into thinking that there is nothing at all to see in Jesus. In Jesus of Nazareth, there is much to see and there is much for us to gain. Because the reason Jesus, God's Son, became a man and the reason he died as a man on a cross, the reason Jesus took the path that he did, the reason that there's that consistency between his birth and his death, was to rescue ordinary people like you and me from what the Bible calls sin, and to bring us ordinary people back into a right relationship with the living God, to bring us forgiveness from God. Jesus took the path he did to accomplish a rescue, just as God said he would. And the beneficiaries of his rescue can be ordinary people. like you and me. And it's very telling, the ordinary shepherds responded to the angel's news by doing what? Do you know what they did? They resolved there in verse 15 to go to Bethlehem themselves and to see the thing that had happened, which the Lord through the angels had told them. They went to see for themselves if the news they'd been told was true. You are hearing that news this afternoon. You can't travel back over time, over 2,000 years, and see with your own eyes if the news you're hearing this afternoon is true. You're not given the same liberty to do that that the shepherds were given. But do you know what you can do? You can read the eyewitness accounts of what happened for yourself. Specifically, again, the four Gospels that have been written about Jesus. The first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And even here today, we have free Bibles that we'd love to give away. We'd love you to take a Bible home with you so you can read for yourself the things that you've been told. Now again, reading may seem pretty ordinary, pretty unspectacular, overrated even. But I'm humbly confident it's the best way. You can weigh up and consider these things for yourself. Don't be fooled by the ordinary, for in it, in Jesus, great wonder is revealed. Be willing to open and receive it. Allow me to pray. Father God, thank you for this Christmas Eve service where we're able to reflect on the events surrounding Jesus' birth and their relevance for our lives today. Help us not to ignore the opportunity you give to us this afternoon to investigate these things, especially by reading the Bible for ourselves. And continue to help us in the remainder of our service this afternoon to reflect on and more deeply understand the wonder and significance of Jesus' birth. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, I think we're going to sing again. Thank you, Amanda.
So what did you think, Nosy?
Well, now I know everything. What are we doing next?
We're singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
What? Those shiny guys are back again here? We still haven't figured out their first message.
Well, we need to still find this Saviour, Messiah, Lord, baby in Bethlehem. Do you think we'll get more clues from this song?
Ah.
Let's stand and sing.
Oh, yeah. seated, everyone. And it's time for us to spend just a little bit of time praying together. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this special time of Christmas and for so many blessings that you've given us. Thank you for all the fun and excitement and presents, the joy of holidays and celebrations with friends and family. But we pray for those who are in need or trouble or without friends and family. We ask that you will be their comfort and joy, and that you will send someone to be kind and generous to them at this time. If that's us, show us how to help. And there are some people who have far more than we do. Help us to be content with what we have and generous with all of it, and to recognise that Christmas is not about what we have or what we get, but about you. As we get ready for Christmas tomorrow morning, help us to remember that Jesus is the greatest gift of all and the reason we celebrate. Help us to be filled with gratitude. Thank you, Father, for the story tonight of the shepherds checking out the angel's message and finding that the sign of it was absolutely true. There really was a newborn baby in Bethlehem lying in a manger. Thank you for their understanding that the rest of the message was also true. This baby was the Messiah, the rescuing king who'd come to save them. Thank you that they then went and told everyone about Jesus. Help us to know the same truth that the shepherds discovered, to believe and know that he's rescued us, has brought us forgiveness and salvation, life with you forever. And help us to tell others about it so they might share this salvation with us. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, Nosy.
Aha! A sign! Finally! Do you think I have a big arrow? Here is the baby. Maybe a big glowing thing in the sky?
You mean like a star?
Ah, well, yes, exactly.
I think that's actually part of tomorrow, which you're all welcome to attend at 9 a.m. For the next installment of the Christmas story, The Wise Guys Following the Glowing Thing in the Sky. This is now where Craig comes and tells us more.
Do enlighten us.
Yes, we are meeting again tomorrow for church at 9 a.m. If you want to come along to our Christmas Day service, we'll also be sharing together in communion in that service. We'd love to see you again. And just to remind you, let you know that we have services here at St. Peter's every Sunday at 8:30, 10:15 and 5 p.m. You're always welcome to join with us. And after tonight's service, we've still got a little bit more to go with Amanda and Sir Nosalot particularly, but we're sharing together in afternoon some food together, just some light refreshments after the service, so please stay around for that. And I think they'll be served next door in the hall, will they? Yep, they're outside in the hall. So have a blessed Christmas. I mentioned the Bibles are available. You are free to take as many as you like. We've got plenty to give away. So either take one for yourself or feel free to take one to give to another person. And also, if you're interested to find out a little bit more, to have some questions about the Christian faith answered, then we've got these little booklets which are free for you to take as well. Just help yourself if that would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay. But I think... Does it... well, does that mean that us as shepherds, to go find this baby, maybe need to go door knocking?
Oh, I knows. We have to look in all the mangers too. Does that mean we have to look in all the animal food bowls?
Maybe. Or maybe we could use some help to find Jesus. Now, I need a person willing to come up. I'm possible, happy to nominate someone. Harley, I'm going to nominate you. Come on down. Come on. You just, really? No one's going to see you. You just got to use a find. You got to take us through a maze. So we've got to get to Jesus. Thanks, Harley. So up on the screen, we're going to try and get to Jesus. Now, there's lots of distractions in our maze. Now, Harley, you can try and listen to people, or you can try and do it yourself. But using the pointer, you're going to try and get through the maze to Jesus. Now, you as the audience are willing, and you can help. So, let's see if we can get to Jesus. Which way should Harley go? Oh, okay.
Oh, I knows. Backwards.
Mate, oh, look, there's a Christmas tree. Christmas trees have pretty lights. Oh, wait, are we going the right way? Oh, maybe.
No, left, right, left.
Back, oh. That upside candy cane down. Looks pretty good. That candy cane looks like a J. Up there. Oh, yep, there we go. Up again. Up, past the candy cane. I would have eaten that. I'm getting hungry. Ready for supper. Oh, wait. Hey! Thank you, Harley. We made it to Jesus. So, a manger. Why a manger? Like, that was the most interesting thing. Questions I guess we'll ask when we see him again, right? Why a manger? In that case, we're going to sing about this manger with a way in a manger. Towards the end. Now, Nosy, how do you feel about us finding Jesus?
Fabulous!
We've been singing about angels, saviours in mangers.
Wait. Now I've seen everything. Angels singing about hearts, saviours in mangers, and not in palaces.
It has been an amazing night. We found Jesus in the end, a little baby born to bring glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to all men on whom his favour rests.
He was in a manger too. I still think that's a very odd place for a baby. The green sheep got hungry and almost bit him.
Oh dear. We know that God has a plan for us. He sent Jesus to bring light and peace into the world. We should tell everyone we know.
Because now he knows everything.
Yes, we know all about Jesus, and we pray everyone will find Jesus this Christmas too. Let's finish by saying this Christmas blessing together.
May the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the Christ child be yours this Christmas. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
As Craig said before, there is some light refreshments for us in the hall if you would like to stay on and join us. Merry Christmas, and I haven't heard the fire engine yet, so just keep an ear out because he will stop outside. So Merry Christmas, and we hope to see you tomorrow morning. Oh, there is a little video if you want to continue watching as the afternoon tea finishes getting ready.
I was watching my sheep on a quiet night, counting little stars in the soft moonlight. Then the sky lit up like the day broke through, and an angel appeared saying, news so true. Don't be afraid, there's joy tonight, a Savior is born. Go see the light, you'll find the child wrapped warm in smoke. Run to Bethlehem, this news is for all. Stepped inside and out of the chill. Mary smiled softly and the world stood still. Joseph nodded kindly as if he knew we had come to see God's promise come true. To Bethlehem, like the angel said, oh, go find the child in a manger. Up close with a quiet sigh, wondering what to give to the King Most High. I whisper, dear Jesus, this scarf is for you. It's simple and warm, but my heart is too. Now from Bethlehem, hey! Out into the night, hey! We're telling everyone.